Philippians 4, verse 10. This is what God says. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether they well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I am looking for a gift, but I'm looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gift you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. And my God shall meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Do you remember what happened last week? We'll better go over for Evie's reason, just for Evie's, to keep her up to speed. I mean, she got straight A's and what, 22 GCSEs, and she's sitting there pretending to be shy and embarrassed. Ah, you little chancer. Joseph's brothers arrived in Egypt to buy grain and take them back to their father Jacob in Canaan. When they got there, they had to meet Joseph, who was the governor over all the land, and he was in charge of all the grain in the land that he had saved during the 7 good years. They didn't know it was Joseph. They still didn't know it was him. It was over 20 years later, and he had changed in all that time. But the first thing they did was, what was the first thing they did, do you remember? They bowed down to him. My fault, switch it on. They bowed down to him. The very thing that God told Joseph they would do when he was just a young boy. That's what his first dream was way back then, and why he was in Egypt now. God knew way back in Canaan what would happen to Joseph. He knew Joseph would be a slave, but he had to be a slave. He had to be a slave to be put into prison. And he had to be put into prison to meet the butler and the baker, so that when the butler was replaced in his job, he had to, because he was in prison, he could meet Pharaoh. And then because he had to meet Pharaoh, he became the governor of the land. And when he became the governor of the land, he was the one that saved the people by storing up all the grain. It's funny that even way, way back, God's doing things. God's meeting all your needs. God's getting things ready and prepared so that when the future comes, you're in the right place. God knew that Joseph would have to suffer. God would have all his needs ready, because God meets all your needs. He knows the good things, but he also knows the bad things. He knows your name, where you live, what school you go to, or where you work. He knows your mommy and daddy. He knows if you behave yourself for them, or if you misbehave. God also knows if you've asked the Lord Jesus to be your Savior. He knows all about you, and he knows all your need. So even if you think nothing's going right, or everything is against you, just wait, like Joseph had to do, and let God have his way. It might take a couple of weeks, it might take 20 or 40 years, but God always gives you what he needs, exactly when you need it. Joseph accused them of spying. But then he told them he was going to put them in jail, but he changed his mind. And he sent them home on one condition.
If you want to buy more grain, you're going to have to come back and see me. So when you come back, bring your brother. Bring your brother here to Egypt. And when they got back to their father, they told him all that had happened and what Joseph said, what the man said to them. Jacob said, no, I can't do that. I can't let Benjamin go. But the famine got worse, and soon Jacob and his sons needed more grain. But this time, Jacob knew he would have to let Benjamin go to Egypt. So Jacob and his son gathered them all up and got them all ready to go. And Judah said to them, they said, go back to Egypt and buy grain. When they were ready to go, Jacob was holding on to Benjamin and hugging him because he didn't want to let him go. But Jacob said, I promise to bring him back to home to you. I promise. If he does, if I don't bring him home, you can take my two sons. And off they went. And Benjamin went with them. On the 360-mile journey to Egypt. When Joseph saw them, he was very happy, so pleased when he saw Benjamin. He told his manager, his main servant, to take him to his house and prepare a meal for them. They will eat with me at midday in my house. When the brothers got there, they thought they were in trouble because of the money that was in their sacks the previous time. They thought they were going to be made Joseph's slaves. So right away, Joseph admitted about the silver they found in their sacks. Judah said to the manager, we brought back the silver that was in our sacks the last time. And the manager said, don't worry about it. Your God has given you the money. Even the servants knew that God was in control and would meet all their needs, because God meets all your needs. What sort of things do you need? Do you need food? Have you got food? If God meets your need. Do you need clothes? Have you got clothes? God meets your need. Do you need somewhere to live? Have you got somewhere to live? God meets your need. Do you need good health? Have you got good health? God meets your need. Some people get sick, some people get very sick. But God has people trained, doctors and nurses, so that they can go and get better. If God can meet your need now, and he does meet your needs, you've just told me he meets all your needs. If God meets your needs now, then surely he can meet your needs in the future. Now, you don't know what your needs are going to be in the future. But God does, just like he knew Joseph's needs. God knows what your needs will be in the future. When you get older, God will meet all of your needs. Maybe you'll be a famous footballer. Maybe you'll be a superstar. Maybe you'll be a doctor or a brain surgeon or a lawyer. Don't know what you're going to be. Maybe you'll be a joiner or a machinist. Or maybe you'll be a bin man. Who knows? But maybe whatever you need, you'll be worried about it and you'll be thinking about it. God already knows. And if you're trusting in him, he will have all your needs ready for you when you do get older. Simeon was brought into the palace and brought to see the rest of his brothers. And they were all together again. But they still didn't know Joseph was their brother. And when Joseph arrived, they gave him some gifts that Jacob had sent. Now this is the man that owns everything in Egypt. And they give him a little bit of cream, healing cream. They give him some honey. And they give him nuts, almond nuts and other pistachio nuts. As if that man needed them. But they sent a present to him. And then Joseph said, how's your father? And they said, he's alive and well. And then they bowed down even further. Then Joseph saw Benjamin. And he was so happy. But he said to the brothers, is this your youngest brother? The brothers were so glad that Benjamin was with them, because they knew then that they were safe. But when Joseph saw him, he was so glad to see them after all those years. He had to leave the room because he had to go and cry, that he was so happy. After a few minutes, he stopped and he washed his face And he went out to meet them again, and they were all ready in this room with the meal ready. And Joseph said to the servants, serve the food. Joseph sat at a table by himself. He was the main man. He sat there by himself. His brothers sat together in one long table. Reuben, who was the eldest, he sat at one end. And all the other brothers sat in the order they were born, so Benjamin was at the other end. They were amazed at how Joseph knew the right order. It was obvious who was the oldest and who was the youngest, because Joseph knew them anyway. Then when the food arrived, they all got their food, servants came out and served them. But Benjamin got 5 times more food than everybody else. And that surprised them too. But they began to relax. They began to enjoy the meal that Joseph had prepared. Can you imagine how surprised they would have been if they knew Joseph understood everything they were saying at the table? How did he get more than us? What's so special about him? And Joseph heard it all. After the meal was finished, the brothers had to go and get their donkeys fed. They had to get ready for bed because they had an early start the next day. So they had to go back to Jacob, and with Simeon and Benjamin going back with them. But while they were doing that, Joseph told his servants to fill the sacks with their money, just like the last time. But then he told his manager, his main servant, put my silver cup in the youngest brother's sack. Early the next morning, the brothers got up to go. They loaded their sacks onto their donkeys and set off back to Canaan. But Joseph was watching them from his palace, and he said to his servant, go after them and stop them. And when you catch up with them, ask them, why have you stolen my master's cup? He brought you to his house. He had a special meal for you. He gave you beds for the night and food for your donkeys. And you've repaid him with this evil thing that you've done. Of course they denied it. And they were afraid again. We are innocent, they said. Why would we do such a thing? We were honest and we brought back the silver we found the first time. Judah said, whoever has done this will die. He didn't know who it was, but he said, whoever has done it will die. Whose sack was it in? Benjamin's. Who was the most important person there? Had to go back to his father. Benjamin. But Judah just said, whoever's done it will die. The manager said, very well. Whoever sack it in will become my slave, and the rest of you will go free. One by one, they started to lower their sacks onto the ground and open them, starting with the eldest brother, Reuben, and then Simeon, and then the next, and the next, until they got to Benjamin's. And of course, that's where they found it, wasn't it? Because that's where Joseph had told them to put it. Oh, and now they were in trouble. They were more afraid than ever they were. Even though Benjamin said he was innocent, the proof was in the sack. Now he would be a slave, and they would have to go home without him. What would Jacob say? Joseph was still in the house waiting for them. As soon as they were brought in, Joseph said, what have you done? Don't you know that I can tell the future? I know what you've done. The brothers fell down on their faces and bowed down to him again. How many times is that? That must be about 6 or 7 times. Sir, how can we explain our innocence? We are innocent. How can we tell you how innocent we are? Then they said, Judah said, God is punishing us for our sins. Now they were feeling guilty about their sins. But what sin was it? Was it the sin when Joseph told their father when he was younger? Was it the sin in selling him as a slave and then telling Jacob a lie that a wild animal killed him? Was it the lie they told Pharaoh when they were 12? They were 12 brothers. One was in Canaan and the other was dead, and yet he was sitting there. Or was it this last sin when they were found out? Whatever sin it was, they were feeling guilty and sorry. God meets all your needs. He knows you need to get rid of the guilt of your sin. But the only way to get rid of it is to ask God to forgive you. And he's waiting for you to tell him you're sorry, even right now where you're sitting. And when you do, the guilt goes away. Judah told Joseph, "Sir, we have all been here, we've all been back to be your slaves, and we will be your slaves, not just the youngest." But Joseph wouldn't listen. He said, "Only the guilty man will be my slave. He will remain here, and the rest of you will go." Judah started pleading with Joseph again. "Sir, when you told us to bring our youngest brother back, I had to promise our father I would surely bring him back. If we return without him, our father will die with a broken heart. I promised I would bring him back. Please, take me as your slave and let him go free." Then Joseph could take it no longer. All along he had been testing his brothers. He wanted to see if they had changed since the time they were cruel to him. Now that he saw how sorry they were, and that Judah was prepared to take the blame for Benjamin, he knew they had changed. Joseph said to them, "Everybody, leave the room. Everybody out." And when they left the room, Joseph started to cry. Loudly, cried bitterly. It was so bad, the Egyptians outside heard him and went and told Pharaoh about it. But then he stopped crying, and he washed his face, and he went out to his brothers, and he told them who he was. "I am Joseph, your brother. Don't be worried about selling me," he said. "Don't worry about all the things of the past. God sent me ahead of you to save lives." God sent me ahead of you to save lives. Then he told them all the things that God had done for him. Since they saw him years ago in Canaan, the Ishmaelites, Potiphar's wife, jail for something he didn't do, the butler and the baker, Pharaoh's dreams. He told them all about it and told them what was happening to him now as the governor. And all that time, God knew all about him. Because God meets all your needs. He knows about your past. He knows about the future. But he knows about now. Let me ask you a question. What do you need now? Now, I don't mean £1 million to buy sweets and toys. That would be good, wouldn't it? But it wouldn't be good. You would soon get sick. I mean, something that's really important to you now. Maybe you're worried about something, but you haven't told anybody about it yet. God knows. But he's just waiting for you to tell him, and maybe he'll show you who to talk to about it. Maybe it's school. You've just started school. You're going to start school. Maybe you'll be in a new class, new friends, new people you're not sure of. You're a bit afraid of new school. God knows. Tell him. And maybe he'll give you good friends to help you. God knows everything. Knows all your needs, and God will meet all your needs. Big people. I lifted your head. You weren't expecting that. Big people, what do you need now? A bill to be paid? The energy crisis? Sick relatives? Problem at work? Unsafe family? Nasty neighbours? A rough patch in your marriage? Old age creeping up on you? A sin you can't overcome? Big people have problems too, and they've got worries and they're afraid. Whatever it is, God meets all your needs. And he'll meet your needs according to his riches and glory, as we read a little earlier. I didn't say he meets your riches out of his, he doesn't meet your needs out of his riches. He meets your needs according to his riches and glory. And remember, God is the owner of the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mind. He will meet your material need. But brothers and sisters, he meets that spiritual need. Whatever problems you're having now, you can't read your Bible, can't pray, there's someone giving you trouble and you don't know how to talk to God about it, God meets those spiritual needs as well. By the way, have you told God yet? about those needs. When Joseph had spoken to them, he went over to Benjamin and he threw his arms around him and he hugged him and he kissed him. His other brothers were still a bit afraid of him, but when they realized he wasn't angry with them, he started to relax and smile. And he talked about all the things that had happened since he was come to Egypt. Do you remember what Joseph's servants did when they heard him crying? No, you don't remember? Yeah, well, is that when you went to sleep a couple of minutes ago? They went to Pharaoh. And they told Pharaoh what Joseph had, was crying. And Pharaoh said to him, "What has happened, Joseph?" And Joseph told them, "Those men are my brothers." And when Pharaoh heard all that had happened about back in Canaan and what happened when they came to Egypt, he said to Joseph, "Tell them to come and live in the land of Goshen." And Pharaoh told Joseph, "Give them enough wagons and food to bring everybody back to Egypt." So Joseph went back to his brothers and he told them what his plans were, what Pharaoh had said. "Go back and tell your father, your son is alive. Then bring our father and all your families, your wives and your children and your flocks and all the rest of it. Bring them back here to the best land of Goshen. It's a good land and you will be near me and I will provide all that you need. If you don't, you'll starve in Canaan and you'll die." Joseph knew what they would need in the future and he had already prepared it. And all they had to do was do as Joseph said and then wait. Joseph's brothers loaded up their wagons and they started back to Canaan. When they saw Jacob, they told him, "Joseph, your son is alive." Jacob was amazed. 20 years he thought he was dead and now he's been told he's alive. He didn't know what to think, didn't know what to do, but when he saw the wagons and the food and the clothes Joseph sent, he said, "I believe you. I will go and see him before I die." So they prepared to leave for Goshen. They loaded up the wagons Joseph sent, all their wives and their children and their grandchildren too, their possessions and their flocks, and off they went. On the way, God spoke to Jacob. And God made Jacob a promise. He said, "Jacob, do not be afraid to go to Egypt. I will make you into a great nation." So Jacob's fears were taken away for the future and for his family. When Joseph heard Jacob was coming and his family were near Goshen, he went out to meet them with a big, lots and lots of people. When they met, Joseph and Jacob threw their arms around each other. And they started to smile and kiss each other. Maybe they had a few tears as well. And Joseph started crying because he was so glad to see his father. Jacob and his family lived in Goshen for many years. All through the famine, Joseph took care of all their needs from the least to the greatest need. God meets all your needs. Do you know what your greatest need is? The greatest need that you have, maybe don't even think about it. The greatest need you or anybody has is to have your sins taken away. You know that what your sins are. They're anything against God. You know you've broken all of God's laws. But God sent the Lord Jesus on ahead of you the way he sent Joseph on ahead. And he sent him on ahead of you to save you. God knew you couldn't take away your sins. So God sent Jesus to die on a cross to take the punishment for your sins. You can do absolutely nothing about your sin. But the greatest need you have is to tell God and have him take away your sin when you say sorry. And then you'll have the greatest reward of your life. Your sins will be taken away. Your guilt goes and one day God will take you to heaven. That may be a long time from now, but it may not be. So ask him to take away your greatest need today. Jacob got older. And when he eventually died, he died in a good old age. He told Joseph he wanted to be buried in Canaan. So Joseph and his 11 brothers did just that. They got all the family. They got everybody together and they went back to Canaan from Egypt. And they buried him in Abraham's tomb. Over the years, Jacob's family grew and grew and grew. They became hundreds and thousands. They became millions of children from Jacob. Eventually, Joseph and his brothers died too. But God kept his promise to Jacob. And even today, he made his family into a great nation called Israel. And I don't think we've got time for a quiz today. Talk too long. But what a blessing. Talk about blessings right at the start. What a blessing that God knows everything about us. From the greatest to the least of us. From the biggest to the smallest need that we have. Our God already has it for us. And when the time comes and we need it, He will provide it exactly at the right time and the right thing. Joseph's a great lesson for us. Great, great lesson when we take the time to study it. Go home and read it. It's about 6 or 7, maybe 10 chapters long, but you can read it in about an hour. And then think of all that God has done for you.